Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Let's read these and keep in mind, today we're going to be talking about things above, on things above. Colossians 3:1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Well, this is a wonderful text. And he says right there in the middle of it, in verse 2, he says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now, we're made of flesh, and so that's a very difficult thing for us to do because the things that are above, we cannot see. And so when he says to us, "Set your affection on things above," you know, you actually have to think for a minute to come up with, I don't know, four or five things to set your affection on, because it's easy to set your affection on your children, and indeed we should love our children. And it's easy to set your affection on your parents, and it's easy to set your affection on your car if you're fortunate enough to have a nice one. Some people like their cars, you know, they wash them and wax them and put a little of that, whatever that tire black is on there, shine those things up. Some people love their dog, some people love their house, some people love their guns, and, you know, they love to hunt and all that kind of stuff, you know, love the outdoors and love wildlife, and some people love animals, and you got all that kind of stuff going on because you can see those things, you can enjoy those things. Children, you know, they love their little dolls and they love their little friends and all those things. So we have a capacity for love, but it's very easy to have that love turn in on things here that are on the earth. And he tells us, don't do that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And boy, that's tough. I can remember a place where Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "If you don't hate your parents, then you can't be my disciple." That's in Luke. And of course, it has to do with a situation where mom and dad are trying to drag you away from fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens sometimes. Now, what are the things that are above that we need to set our affection on? And, of course, people who love the world wouldn't understand us. They would think we're kind of goofy for loving things we can't see. But the first thing to set your affection on up there in heaven is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth." That's where our Savior is. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. He already accomplished what he's going to do down here in the earth, and he ascended into heaven, and that's where he is right now, seated at the right hand of God. John tells us that we are to love our Savior so much that we are to have fellowship with him. He tells us that in 1 John chapter 3, and when he tells us that, he reminds us that not only do we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, but we have fellowship also with God Almighty, so that the second thing that we have our affection set on in heaven is not only Jesus Christ, but on our Father. Notice what he says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So our fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God wants us to have fellowship with him and with himself. You know, when the disciples were here on the earth, they asked God to help them to be able to come up with a prayer, not a prayer to pray, but an example of prayer. Teach us to pray. And he said, "Our Father which art in heaven." And later on, he's instructing his disciples, and he says, "Heretofore have you asked nothing in my name," but he said, "whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Well, that's a great prayer promise. But notice he says we're to ask the Father. So it's great to have fellowship with God Almighty. Because after all, if you want your prayers asked, he's the one you ask. And God Almighty is the one that is glorified. Another thing that Jesus said, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So it's tremendous to have fellowship with God. It is tremendous to have fellowship with our Savior and to love them. He said, set your affection on things above. Well, that's where God the Father is, and that's where Jesus Christ is. Imagine somebody setting their affection on a God like Buddha, who is in the ground, or a God like Confucius, who is dead, or a God like Muhammad, who was really just a prophet, who is dead, or a God like Allah, who doesn't even exist, or gods like they worshipped in the Old Testament that came up in statues, like Dagon, the fish god, or Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, or Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, or Baal, or Moloch, those various kinds of gods that are back then. Isn't that amazing? And today, people have, and it's unfortunate that it's happened. I'm sure that Mary's not very happy about this, but some people have made a goddess out of Mary. They really have, because they've called her the Mother of God, and they give her a tremendous amount of worship. And God told us explicitly not to make images of things that are in the earth and of things that are in heaven, to bow down and worship them. And I've listened to you. I've heard some of you talk about your relationship to Jesus Christ's mother, and I've really seen it in foreign countries, particularly down in Mexico and in the Philippines, how they give Mary this praise and this worship. And I'm going to tell you something, her body is still here on the earth. She did not have an assumption that has been taught. Nobody's body is up there right now except for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Enoch and Elijah and Moses. The rest that are up there are souls. Now, we'll join them one day in the rapture, thank God. But I don't mean to get off on that, because I'm trying to tell you to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But it's unfortunate when we get into idolatry that people don't have their affection really on things above. Their affection is on things on the earth. I remember one time I was witnessing to a fella in a small town, and I was actually witnessing to his wife, who was dying of cancer, and she was very earnest in her desire to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then afterwards, her husband, who had been listening but was drinking beer and had gotten a little bit brave and courageous with his alcohol, took me into a room and showed me a statue of Mary. He said, this is what I worship. This is where I pray. And he went by and rubbed the top of her head, which he had done every time that he passed by that statue. He had rubbed through the paint, through the gold undersurface, and had come down to the ceramic base. Now, it's not something that happened because he rubbed her head once or twice, and the paint was not thin. It was, it was where they put it in a kiln and they burn it on there. He'd been by there every day. That was his little god. That's so sad, because he said, set your affection on things above. And I was preaching Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't. He didn't at that time anyway. It's sad. So Paul says, set your affection on things above. Our Savior, our Father. What else is above? His Word. His Word. Look in Psalm 119, verse 89. I'm going to show you two things. Psalm 119:89. Now, you know, I have the Word of God in my hand right now. So when I say my affection is on things above, when I love the Word of God, watch this. Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So right here on this desk, as I'm preaching to you, I have the Word of God in my hand. I mean, I believe every word of this Bible that I have here, every single word of it, without error, is totally errorless. There's no contradiction. There are some apparent contradictions, but no real contradictions. These are the words of God. When I get to heaven, this book that I have in my hand will no longer be in my hand. As a matter of fact, it may not even be in existence anymore. But you know something? When I get there, what I have here in my hand is going to be there. Exactly, word for word. Absolutely, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Then that's a remarkable thing. That is such a remarkable thing. I have absolute, total fellowship and confidence in God Almighty, because I've got his words right here. And the Lord said, if you love me, keep my words. If any man love me, he will keep my words. So if I have my affection set on Jesus Christ, I've got to have my affection set on his words. Now I'm going to show you something. Don't you think the name of Jesus Christ is powerful? I do. Because he says in one place, if you use that name, if you ask in my name, I'm going to answer that prayer. That's one thing he said. But the other thing he said is, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's a very powerful name. In the name of Jesus, devils are cast out and people are healed and all those wonderful miracles. But you look in Psalm 138, verse 2, and notice something about God's word relative to his name. Psalm 138, verse 2. David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch it. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow, that is tremendous. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Well, there's no other name greater in this universe than the name of Jesus Christ. And the word is magnified above the name. Tremendous. So that word is something to have affection on, and it's here, but it's also settled in heaven. So if you say, well, I just don't really even read my Bible, you don't really love the Lord as much as you think you do, and you certainly don't love his word. But that's where to set your affection, see? And of course, the more time you spend in the book, the more time you have your affection set on things above. It's a wonderful thing. All right, something else that's above that we set our affection on is his throne. His throne. In Revelation chapter 4, John is caught up to the third heaven. He's caught up to heaven. And while he's up there, he sees things that he records for us in the book of Revelation. And one of the things he sees is that he sees the throne of God. And in Revelation chapter 4, he tells you what it looks like. He says, verse 2, he says, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And he goes on and he describes this thing. There's a bow around it, an emerald green bow around it. There are four beasts around it. There are elders around it. There are angels around it. And there are saints around that throne. And every time anybody says anything regarding, and there are 24 elders, they fall down before him. And they worship him, and they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's a tremendous sight. But you know something? If we're to set our affection on things above, and there's that throne, then you know what you're going to end up doing? You're going to end up spending more time in prayer. You say, why is that? Because there's a relationship between prayer and answers to prayer and that throne. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Look what it says. Let us therefore come boldly, where? Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that's a tremendous verse of Scripture. In other words, if you have your affection set on things above and the Word is above, you'll read the Bible more. And if you have your affection set on things above, and his throne is above, you're going to pray more. You see how those things are related? Now I'll show you something else that's up there that we're to love and have our affection on. Our mother is up there. I didn't say your mother, or I didn't say my mother. I said our mother. You say, uh-oh. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, look with me in Galatians chapter 4. You know that you have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and you know you have a Father, God Almighty. But did you know you have a mother? I'm talking about in heaven, and I'm not talking about the earthly one that you had that was saved, that died, and was there now. I'm talking about somebody else. Look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's New Jerusalem that you read about in Revelation chapter 21. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Oh boy, now this is something. In other words, New Jerusalem is above, and that is your mother. You know, people talk about the school they graduated from, and they say, my alma mater. Well, that's mater, that's mother. Well, the school's not your mother, but since you graduated from there, they say you matriculated from there. You know, matriculate, matrimony, maternity, they're all connected. It has, when you say matriculate, you're looking to that school as your mother. Isn't that strange? And New Jerusalem is the mother of a Christian. So there's no earthly mother And I'm going to tell you what, we love our mothers. But there's no earthly mother to compare with your heavenly mother. And your heavenly mother, according to this, is New Jerusalem, not Mary. And I will say that not to be offensive. Not to be offensive, but to be truthful. To be truthful. Certainly it was a great blessing that God chose Mary to have the birth of His Son. But beyond that, she is not to be worshipped. He never referred to her in that capacity. He always called her woman. Now, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. There's our affection. And you know what's in New Jerusalem? A mansion. John chapter 14, when Jesus Christ wanted to calm the hearts of the disciples because He was fixing to leave the earth, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." The second thing He mentioned was the mansion. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." He told them that to calm their hearts. So you look at that thing and you say, wow, this is tremendous. My Savior's in heaven and I love Him. My Father's in heaven and I love Him. His Word is settled in heaven and I love His Word. You know that because I read it all the time. I mean, that's what you should be saying. His throne is in heaven. You know I love that because I approach it all the time in prayer. Our mother's in heaven. I look forward to the beauty of New Jerusalem. Our loved ones are in our mansion is in heaven. And so, wow, I love that. You know something? What are you doing to adorn your mansion and New Jerusalem with your efforts down here? You see, that dictates your love for that. Now, not only that, but our loved ones are in heaven. Those people that you knew that have since gone on to be with the Lord are in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want to mention something to you. It's a sad thing if you don't know if your loved ones are in heaven. I understand that. But if you do know your loved ones are there, you know something? God wants you to know they're there and He wants you to love them because, listen, as much as you and I love the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven never got so real to you until your father passed away and went there. Heaven never got so real to you until your mother passed away and went there. Heaven never got so real to you until the person that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ died and went there, or the preacher that led you to Jesus Christ, or the man that baptized you. Or some dear, dear, dear sweet friend of the Lord that's passed on to be with the Lord has gone up there. You know, I've got a number of loved ones there now. Recently, a good friend of mine who was a missionary in the Philippines for over 40 years passed away. He's there now. And you know something? It has helped with the affection on things above to know he's there. And on these things go to help us set our affection on things above. And finally, and you may think of others, but I'll stop with this. Our treasure is in heaven. Or at least it should be. You know, people get all hung up on giving. I mean, it becomes the repetitive theme of most preachers. People get hung up on giving, and people get tired of hearing about it. People get hung up on, well, are we supposed to tithe in the New Testament or not? Are we supposed to give in the New Testament or not? And all that jazz. Let me tell you something. Why don't you just put all that argument aside for a minute and look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21 very carefully. Why don't you just do that? Because He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But I'll tell you, you'll have a little treasure laid up for your retirement, and a thief will come through. Somebody will file a lawsuit against you, file an attorney to get after you and take your treasure. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Is it in your 401k? Is it in your retirement account? Is it in your stock market? Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people who have their treasure in the stock market, and right now, their affection not on things above because the thing's not going up, it's going down. And now all of a sudden their affection's on things that are falling, not rising. That's a silly place to have all of your affection. You know, the best savings plan in the world is a savings plan that sends your money on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart's there, your affection's going to be there. So, you may not have very much affection toward things above. You may not have very much treasure up there. Maybe the problem. Might ought to not be so stingy and put a little more on the other side. Then your affection will be on things above and not on things on the earth. You say, "Preacher, you're just coming right at me." Well, I'm just putting it down there where you can get it. Amen? Now, these are the things to love. These are the things to have your affection on. These are the things that are above. And I'm glad to have had an opportunity to remind you about these things. But you know, it's conditional. He said, if, he says in chapter 3, verse 1, if your affection is not going to be on things above if certain things aren't true, and I'm going to give you five things that have to be true in order for your affection to be on things above that are found in the text. First of all, you got to be saved. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, if you're not saved, you're not risen with Christ. And if you're saved, you are risen with Christ. I mean, right now. Ephesians 2:6 says, I mean, it puts it so clearly you couldn't miss it. And hath raised, past tense, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit puts you into Christ Jesus and you're right there with Him at the right hand of God. We just studied this in Colossians chapter 2 when we studied the spiritual circumcision earlier this week. The Bible says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. You're risen with Christ, and if you're risen with Christ, you're seated with Him in heavenly places. So your affection won't be on things above. If you're not saved, you can't have your affection on things above. I know a lot of religious people who believe they're saved, they believe they're on their way to heaven, but their love is for everything on the earth. That's one of the telltale signs that they're not saved. Their affection's not on the right thing. All right, now that's the first thing. You've got to be saved or your affection won't be on things above, because you're not heading above, you're heading down. Your affection will be on things that eventually wind up in hell. All right, the second thing is, your affection won't be on things above unless you're seeking things above. Look at verse 1 again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, if you're not seeking those things which are above, your affection won't be on things that are above. You say, well, that seems pretty simple. Well, sure it is. Doesn't the Bible give you a little formula? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Isn't that a promise? Don't you quote that in prayer? Yes, you do. Look at that second part of that thing. Seek and ye shall find. Well, that shows you that if you're not seeking, you're not going to find. That also shows you concerning your affection on things above. If you're not seeking those things that are above, you won't have any affection for those things that are above. In other words, it takes effort on your part. It takes time on your part. It takes diligent search on your part. All right, here's the third thing that will keep you from having your affection set on things above. If you're not worldly, then your affection will be on things above. Look what he says. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, verse 2. Not on things on the earth. So if you're not worldly, your affection will be set on things above. But if you have your affection on things on the earth, well, then it's an either-or situation. If you have your affection on things on the earth, you will not have your affection on things above. It's an either-or thing. It's like God said, you can't serve two masters, or you're not going to be able to love things on the earth and love things on heaven above. You say, well, how do you know that? It's in the Bible. Look in James chapter 4. Look at James chapter 4. You say, oh, well, maybe this has been my problem. Of course it may be your problem. It was something we all have to fight. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You see, they are separate. If you are a friend of the world, then you are by definition an enemy of God. James said that. So if your affection is not on things above, but on things on the earth, then it'll never be on things above until you no longer are a friend of this world. Boy, that's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? Man, that is like, really straightforward. Okay, well, now something else. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And when he tells you a thing like that, he's telling you that to show you the difference so that you won't fall in love with things down here. Because, you know why? Things down here draw on your affection. And he doesn't want you to do that. Now, here's the next thing. You'll love things above if you're dead. He says here in verse 3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that's a doctrinal statement. You are dead as far as Christ is concerned doctrinally. You know, we studied that during the time that we've been studying the spiritual circumcision and things like that. But you know something? While it may be a doctrinal truth that you are crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless you live, there is a practical side, a practicing side of your death in Christ. That's found in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, and it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, you have to recognize it. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." And you know, there are a lot of Christians who don't recognize that. They go right back into their old worldly habits because they have chosen to yield their members to unrighteousness rather than to yield their members to righteousness, yield their members to the Holy Spirit, and reckon themselves to be dead. And if you're not dead to the things of the world, well, then your affection won't be set on things above. And then finally, in verse 4, he says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." The fifth thing is that you will not have your affection set on things above if you do not love the Lord's appearing. But if you do love the Lord's appearing, if you're looking for it, then your affection is certainly going to be on things above. When Paul wrote Titus, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." If you don't love the Lord's appearing, certainly you won't be looking forward to the arrival of the Lord. And so what you've seen here today is an exhortation to us as Christians on this Friday, before we go into the weekend, to have our affection set on things above: our Savior, our Father, His Word, His throne, our mother, our mansion, our loved ones, and our treasure. And to be aware that five things are conditional to having that affection. We got to be saved. We got to seek. We can't be worldly. We've got to be dead. And we have to love the Lord's appearing. Now, if you've been having trouble setting your affection on things above, maybe you found in the list of those five things the area that you're having trouble with. Fix it. Fix it, and fix it today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.